Love's Naked Truth with Lisa Simmons, a podcast where we tell our stories and dive deep into the raw and unfiltered life of love, sex, who we crush on, and why we do what we do, and everything in between. I'm a certified matchmaker and a licensed real estate broker, and I match lovers and buyers for a living. So get ready for a no slut shaming, no judgment, and no filters, just raw, untold stories, and who knows what else can happen. Welcome to Love's Naked Truth, the podcast that strips down the complexities of love and relationships. I'm your host, Lisa Simmons, and today we're joined by the incredible Benno. He's here to share his story and insights into life as a gay man. Get ready for a raw and enlightening conversation that's sure to inspire and educate. On today's show, we talk with Benno. Benno is here today.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Benno. And I'm also here with Michael.
Hi. Hi, Benno.
What up, Mike?
Nice to meet you.
So Benno's a really cool person. He is out as a homosexual man, and he has a bunch of information to share with us, and we're excited to, you know, interview him and talk to him.
So Benno, how old are you?
I am 37.
37. Okay. And how long you been in Wenatchee?
3 months.
3 whole months.
Yeah.
So the winter, huh?
Yeah.
You come over for just for the winter. Did you go skiing or anything?
No.
No?
I got a little taste of that negative 17 degrees, and it's a lot different. That was, really cold.
Yeah, that was definitely a bundle-up time. So what are you doing for work here in Wenatchee?
I applied at the gym I'm going to, Planet Fitness. I'm just looking to get a couple of part-time jobs, and yeah.
So what are you doing with your days since you're not working right now?
I go to the gym a lot. I am a bartender and I'm on break from that so I can kind of get to know Wenatchee and then, just kind of get my feet wet in this town. But my days really consist of waking up, going to the gym, go to a couple of meetings. Every once in a while I have a class and then go to the gym again at night. And watch some Kardashians and go to bed.
That's great. What kind of meetings are you going to?
I go to NA meetings.
NA meetings,
okay. So you're really on your sobriety.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
How long have you got sober?
I have 76 days.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah, 76 days.
What was your drug of choice?
Definitely alcohol, marijuana, and uppers, some cocaine.
Oh. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you find it hard coming off of cocaine? Because a lot of people say, it's not addictive. Do you think it was?
No, not so much. I mean, I think it was more the drinking, just because when you're having a good time, you drink. When you're having a bad time, you drink. When you celebrate, you drink. When it was a long day at work, you drink. Your back hurts, have a little beer.
Yeah.
And then being Hispanic, there's always beer in the house. We always had celebrations. Every
barbecue. Tequila.
Yeah. Every barbecue, there was alcohol, baptisms, anything. So
society lets us drink. I mean, they want us to, and it's all around us. Like, you can't get away from it. You have to be, as a sober person, you have to be okay with having it all around you and not touching it. And that's really hard.
Yeah. I mean, the other day I was at the grocery store and I love champagne, and I was in the deli section getting some cold cuts. And right in the middle of it, they had like 8 bottles of champagne. And I was like, what the heck is this doing here? This is not even the liquor section in the middle of section.
Have you seen the one where the butcher's trying to sell the meat? And so they've got the T-bone steak and then it's got 2 beers. Yeah, it's all wrapped up in one. So it's the perfect date. It's the steak and the beer. And you can buy it all at once.
Yeah.
So this is a crush show. So since you've been in Wenatchee, do you have any crushes going on or any prospect?
You don't have to say any names.
Yeah, I have several crushes.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we want him to say names.
We would love for you to come back and or else maybe someday we could, call your crush and just kind of reveal it.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
Hey, we have someone sitting here that has a crush on you, and then we could reveal that it might not go good. It might go good. I mean,
yeah,
it could be fun. That'd be a lot of fun.
So when did you first realize that you were gay?
When I was little. I was in elementary school. Because you know how when you're little, you have little crushes on like a couple of girls. Well, I had a crush on the girl, but then I also had a crush on one of the boys. But like growing up back then, it was just a different world than it is today. Like, it wasn't so open. So I couldn't really act on the boys aspect of it. So it was just mainly focusing on the girls and stuff. And, you know, growing up Catholic as well, you basically couldn't come out unless you wanted to get disowned. That was just basically like expected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's tough. Do you feel like that maybe growing up and not knowing, you know, a lot about life, that maybe what you were feeling was normal? Or did you feel like it was wrong to like boys?
No, it definitely felt taboo. Like, because even as little, when you go to church, like, they would instill that fear. And like, I had a teacher tell me that if I were to come out gay, that it would devastate my parents. And just that word, devastate them. Like, I was a big mama's boy, and my dad, like, I always wanted to make him proud. So I knew if I were to come out, then they're going to disown me. I'm going
to. Did they try to push girls on you? You need to date girls. You need.
No, but there was always like one girl that like we'd always have like this on again, off again crush. She'd try and date someone else and it pissed me off. And then I would date her best friend to piss her off. But yeah.
The grunge dating.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So do you have any past trauma from hiding this from people throughout your childhood? Because 23 is pretty old to finally come out.
Yeah.
And, you know, you said you went to college?
Yeah.
Where did you go to college at?
University of Washington.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was my dream school to go to. So I just applied at one and I figured if I don't get into UW, I'm not going to college. So
what'd you major in?
I wanted to go into business marketing and management.
Wow.
Yeah.
And did you complete? Or?
No, I started to focus more on the partying aspect of college, going to the keggers.
That's,
I had friends in frat.
Yeah.
So we'd go to the foam parties and
Were you ever a prospect in the frat?
There was only one time. There was this really handsome guy that he had a girlfriend across the hallway and he was just gorgeous. He was like this model looking S guy.
Oh, I know that type.
And tall, slim, just great dresser. But he always had a girlfriend. So I would always kind of admire from afar. And then we were at a frat party and he sat right next to me and he kept rubbing his knee against mine, which is always like the clue. Like anytime you sit with the guy
he's
and
flirting
the
with rub. You.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so we ended up walking back home together and we hooked up in the lobby bathroom. It was the only place that had a lock.
Yeah.
But it was weird because he kept bringing up his girlfriend. He's like, oh my God, I love the smell of girls. I love the smell of...
He was lying to himself.
He's like, I love the smell of pussy, this and that. And I'm like, bro, I'm doing you right now.
He's trying to tell himself you don't like me. You like women. He's feeling guilty.
I'm like, you're bottoming right
dude,
now, bro.
You're gay.
Is he like,
you're gay.
Like, pulling your dick out of his mouth going, God, I love pussy.
Yeah, basically. I'm like, who are you trying to convince here, buddy?
Dude, you're gay. If you go anywhere towards gayness, you are gay. I'm sorry.
Right? So some of the jokes, have you got any good gay jokes?
No.
No?
What do you mean by that?
Okay, so there's a few people that have come out of jail or prison. And it's, it's not gay if you give up, if you quit within a week before you get out, then you're not gay.
I've heard that. It's not gay if it's in jail or prison, and as long as you don't do it on the outs.
Yeah. When I was in rehab, there was one guy there that was just a biker, straight up biker dude, you know, bald head. He's got tattoos and everything. He's got leather on and everything. And he's walking around, and I was like, how you doing today? And he goes, my boyfriend says my dick tastes like shit.
Did you see this on TV or something?
No, this was in the rehab I was in. That I was in. Yeah, he says, my boyfriend says my dick tastes like shit. I'm going to get rid of that fag.
Was he kidding when he said that or was he serious?
This was Chehalis, so I don't know if he was kidding or not. But when he got out, he wasn't gay.
Yeah. He sounds like he was joking.
Yeah. So being in Wenatchee, though, you said the... You've been trying some dating site, Grindr
mainly, Tinder, and that Facebook dating.
Yeah. So have you found that there's real people on there, or is there more scams going on, or?
No scams, but a lot of people, I feel like they pick a picture from 5 or 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And that's not quite what they look like today.
Yeah.
Do you like men older or do you like them younger or do you have a preference?
Not necessarily. Just I like a in shape guy. I would prefer taller, but it doesn't really like bother me, but not too short. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So do you like the silver foxes? Like, would you go, what is your age where you like absolutely nobody past this age?
I would say like old man status, like 60 or 70, probably wouldn't far into that. And then in the same aspect, like anywhere around that 19, 20, like that's...
They haven't experienced life yet. It's like
when they get close to like my stepson's age, then that's when I'm like, ooh, that like, how would he like me dating his best friend? You know, that I don't know. Same thing. I would not want him dating a woman my age. I'd be like, no, sorry, let's pick someone a little younger.
But I like younger men. Like my age, I think that men are disgusting. And there's a handful that are okay, but I find men attractive like 20s or 30s. That would just be like you have sex with a puppy, you don't marry a puppy type of situation. You know, I would never want to start over with a 20-something year old because, dude, I've done that. I don't want to train somebody again.
Yeah.
But sexually turned on by a guy, definitely in the late 20s, mid-30s would be like my line.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Michael? You don't have a preference. He's a wide open.
I usually go for the older gentleman.
Okay, so now we have something else to talk about here.
I want the sugar daddy experience, you know. I'm tired of
the sugar mama.
I'm tired of the sugar mamas, you know.
I get it. I do.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll take a sugar mama too. Hey, get a hold of me.
Yeah, you know,
DM
I'm not,
me for
the applications are always accepted for either one, you know. No, my age range is usually, a few years ago, I had a girlfriend that was 26 years old, and we had absolutely nothing to talk about. Sex was great, but we had zero to talk about. Like, just doing simple things together, like going grocery shopping, okay? So we're in Albertsons, and I tell her, there's no limit. Get whatever you want. You want steak? Go get steak. She comes back with candy and sauerkraut.
Sauerkraut?
Yeah. Well, she was Russian. And I'm like, okay, you know, there's like 15 aisles of stuff here, right? You know, you can get whatever you want. And she goes, and you know, I'm shopping for me because I've told her, get whatever you want. And I'm shopping for me. So I go, that's it. That's all you want? It's candy and sauerkraut. She, yeah, I'm good.
But I'm sure in your mind, you went, oh, maybe if she gets a lollipop, that would be exciting.
No, it wasn't. No. She was probably about the worst ever. Couldn't even take training.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So that didn't last long.
Maybe. No. No. But yeah, so the younger ones are cute to look at, but when you don't have anything in common with them, and the older ones are... You know,
so let's put relationship aside and talk just about sex. So you're not in a relationship now. You're out. You're single. You're looking to hook up with somebody. Are you looking to hook up with somebody that is, you know, relationship quality? Or are you okay with just, you know, a piece of ass being a 20-something year old girl that, you know, is going to be able to get the job done because, you know,
well, you know, a piece of ass is a piece of ass. If it's going to be fun, then yeah, it's great. But there's the ones that you want to have sex with and they're not available and or have a relationship where it's just sex. And those are very far and few between. But then the goal is to not be alone, right?
Well, yeah. What about you, Benno?
I would kid myself. I said I wouldn't want a relationship eventually. Yeah. But I mean, it's nice to get to know someone, fool around, because I always believe like there is that lust and love at first sight, because you got to be physically attracted to that little spark's got to catch you. And then you get to know if they're a good person, if they're genuine inside and everything like that. So you definitely need that little spark first. So if you don't have that in the beginning, then how can you kind of move down the line?
Benno, what is your porn like? Like, what kind of porn do you watch? And do you watch it like daily? Like,
I always watch like frat porn, like straight buddies getting it off.
I can understand that being a turn on. Like, yeah. So two straight guys that just decide, you know, hey, we're We're straight, but
yeah.
Hey.
Whoa, buddy, what are you doing? Well, what?
What are you doing? Why are you touching me like that? Oh, wait a minute. I kind of like it.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. So growing up, how was dating? You dated girls and then you went into men?
I only dated girls up until 23. I lost my virginity when I was 19 in college.
Well, how many girls have you dated?
Or have you had sex with or been with?
4 or 5.
And were they like repeated sex with them?
No,
or was
one,
just
time,
one time.
One and done. Yeah.
One and done.
Yeah, because like I said, I would never want to be in a relationship.
So you definitely know which preference you like better, the men or the women.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, how many men have you been with?
Good question.
A lot.
Okay.
Are these
more than 5.
Are these like Tinder hookups, a lot of them? Or how do you meet men?
Let's see. Back then, there was no Grindr. So I think that was Craigslist.
Oh, no.
I remember that.
Yeah. Craigslist.
I'm a top looking for a bottom.
Yeah. If you were the guy working at Walmart in aisle 7, I was interested.
I just did a long shot, but if you remember me, I walked by you.
Yeah.
We looked at each other in the eyes.
Also, I feel like Facebook, if they take a lot of selfies, I'm very curious because a lot of my straight friends, they're not taking selfies, but it's always those guys taking those angle, you know.
They're either narcissists or they're gay.
Yeah.
That's great. Now you got me thinking on it. I'm sitting there going, all of my pictures are selfies. Thanks.
He's like, shit, I'm going to take my pictures down.
No.
So are you actually attracted more toward a gay man, or would you actually say you're attracted to a straight man, but, you know, obviously...
Well, I like more of a masculine kind of a guy because I have friends that are really effeminate and I don't like particularly like see them in that aspect. Like they're cool to hang out with, but I wouldn't take them home to bed.
Yeah.
So I just kind of like a more, I don't know, a little bit more quiet kind of a guy.
Kind of like a rough around the edges type. Yeah.
Yeah. Like a trainer, like definitely like the trainers or because like when I'm at the gym, I always see like the guys like lifting and stuff. And I'm like, for one, they're attractive as hell.
Right.
And for two, like, how can I get a body like that? Like eventually, hopefully I can get there.
Have you ever hooked up in the gym locker room?
Not in the locker room, but in the parking lot. Yeah.
Do you see a lot of gay men that work out, or do you know what times of the day to go?
No.
To this gym that you...
Every once in a while, like I'll pop on Grindr and just see who's like out and about.
Right.
But a lot of times like they're there when I'm not there. I just left. They just got there. So eventually things will happen, you know.
Yeah.
So,
God works in mysterious ways.
Yeah,
so what's the determining factor, you know, like what is it that's going to just put you over the edge? You're like, fuck it, we're doing it right now.
Like if they're tall, athletic, pretty eyes, nice smile, like that tall, dark, and handsome. And if they're nice, if they're kind, and I get like that vibe that, oh, this is
talk
nice
or no talk.
Not. I'm a talker because like it takes me a while to like relax. So I'm like,
I
can't
that
just
for you.
Jump into it. I'm like, I'm a little bit on the nervous end.
You really are pretty awesome. I think you're sexy as hell. And I think that any guy would be lucky to have you. You got your shit straight, dude. I can tell by talking to you that you're an awesome dude.
Well, hopefully I can find the right guy.
I will find you
that.
A guy. I know a few.
Telling you, they're hard to catch.
I have one in mind. So do you want a man that has a job and has all that? Or are you okay if they... Do you need them to make a lot of money?
No.
To own a house? What are you looking for? At 37, you know, you have some needs that you probably want.
I mean, I would like them to have a job. I wouldn't ask of someone to have anything that I wouldn't have. So just like job,
see,
a car.
Ew.
Perfect. But I definitely like someone with like a good personality, because without that, like, I don't want to be with the jerk. I don't want to be with the narcissist. I don't want to be with someone who's obsessed about themselves. Like,
so you know. When you go out on a date, who pays for dinner?
Typically, I would always be the first one. Like, I like to pay, but I'm trying to change my ways. So going Dutch, I feel like, is appropriate. Or if they really insist, then I'll definitely get the next one. Like, one in one. Because I don't want to be taken care of, but I also want to contribute too. Yeah,
totally. I totally get that. So what do you think, like, when you're searching on Grindr, what do you see that will attract you to like message that person?
It's usually like the headless man. It's like the torso and they just show their like six pack.
Or like the camera in the mirror.
Yeah.
Taking it back.
A steamy mirror with like a little bit of like a head. Yeah.
Well,
like that visual aspect.
So what about like penis? Do you want to see the penis first?
You know, I don't really, that can come with time. I'd rather see it in person than see it on a phone. Cause like I'm pretty open. Like
okay,
I'm
so
not into like that... mega or teeny weeny.
It's
like,
not about the dick.
Yeah, no.
So
that kind of confirms that nobody wants to see dick pics.
Exactly. I hate dick pics. Yeah, I think they're disgusting.
It's like an alien just looking at you.
I don't like a hard dick. Okay. I like dick. Okay. But I don't like to see a raging hard dick. I think they're scary and mm-hmm. they're not thinking with their right mind. Like this is, you know, I find pleasure in touching a really soft, very smooth, gentle penis.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's my favorite. Now, when they're hard and they're coming at me, I'm like, dude, you know, I know what's coming.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, you know, that's just my thought on it. I mean, I know people that will be like, no, I only like hard penises. Like, really? You really like that thing coming at you when you don't want it? You like, you know, like I see men's eyes go like up in their head. They're crazy. They're not there. And they're like all their just.
The blood has flown.
There's no blood left anywhere. It's all centered around their penis.
I mean, there's something very attractive about like a guy just like in underwear with like out a hard on and then getting the process going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, I like that.
So we have a question that we always ask on the show.
Who's your celebrity crush? I know it's a toughie. It puts people on the spot, but you know, we
definitely like Superman. That Harry
Colville.
Yeah, there's
the newest one.
The newest one.
Yeah. Harry something.
It's the same
Styles?
One.
Harry Colville or something like that.
I don't know. Let's look that up real quick. My celebrity crush, it changes all the time, but it's definitely Colin Farrell. And who was yours? Isn't it Selma Hayek?
Yeah, Selma Hayek.
Yeah. Those are ours.
I don't know if Selma Hayek has had work done, and if she hasn't, then we need to find out what she's doing because she looks awesome all the time.
So now,
what happens if you meet your celebrity crush?
I'm the most awkward person when I'm in front of my crush.
Like, yeah. Are you kidding me? There's two reasons that this is messed up. For one, it's a celebrity. You know, you're going to like shit yourself because it's a celebrity. And second of all, they're probably so damn attractive that you can't even say a word. Like I'd stumble. Like first, I couldn't see a celebrity and talk anyway. But to have my chance with my celebrity, forget it. I'd pass out. I wouldn't,
you know. I think I would probably do the worst thing ever and not.
Don't fart.
No, not recognize them.
Oh.
Not realize.
No, I don't. I think you would, because I think if you saw beauty coming at you, first of all, the first thing you would think of is I've seen her before. And then you'd.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you see her on TV. So you're going to notice something.
I did have a situation where I have met somebody that I think she's famous on Instagram and she's here in town. And it's Honeybee on Instagram. And she does the burlesque show. She's one of the ladies in the burlesque show. And I met her at her work. And at the time that I met her was right when the pandemic was going. And all I could see was her eyes. And I knew it was her.
See, so you would know your celebrity crush.
So,
what do they do the burlesque shows?
They've got a couple different stages that they do them here. But like they did one for Valentine's Day. And then New Year's, they did one. Halloween, they did one.
Oh, that'd be cool to go to.
Yeah,
it would definitely be fun. But they usually sell out the tickets.
Oh, yeah, they sell out. You gotta. I'd say I don't know what the next show is yet, but yeah, get the tickets now.
Yeah, like St. Patrick's Day coming up.
Yeah,
it might be. Yeah, St. Patrick's Day or.
I know. Do you ever go to gay bars or anything?
There was one small one called Out and About in Tri-City that I go to a lot.
Cool.
It was awkward, I think, the first time because I went there because I was talking to a lot of people on Grindr. And when I walked into the bar, I swear to God, it was a whole first page of Grindr in there. And they were all looking at me like a piece of meat. And I was just like,
new
someone
fish.
Help me. Someone help me. Right? So I went up to the bartender who was my friend. And I was like, have you ever walked into a room and everyone's talking about you? That is me right now. And she was like, who are you taking home? And I'm like, no one. I want to get the hell out of here. I'm like, I feel so embarrassed right now. Like,
you needed a drink
everyone,
at that time.
Yeah. Just to, I was like, everybody knows all of me in here right now. I'm like, no.
So like, do you get better action in a straight bar or a gay bar?
Yeah, definitely. That's a good question. So how many people, like, do they that stare at you? Is it gay bar? Are they?
Oh, yeah, gay bar. I mean, you'll be going to the bathroom with a urinal and they'll just whoop it out. And you're like, give you a little wink, like, hey, you want to do something with this or what? And
leave it to men to, yeah. Be, like, to do stuff like that. Like, I've been to several gay bars and I've had the most fun at gay bars. I don't feel like that women like hit on each other. Like, sure, you'll get that dyke butch that'll walk by and she'll be like, hey, you know, but I don't think it's the same like it is for men. You know, women aren't as horny or just built different.
Guys are definitely a little bit more aggressive with it. I remember when I was young, I had a fake ID. So even at 19, I'd go into bars. And I remember we went to Canada and we went to a gay bar because it was the easiest place to get in without an ID. And just walking and dancing on the dance floor, like, hands were just going down my pants. And I'm like, whoa, like, if I was a girl, this would be sexual harassment.
Wait a minute. A gay bar in Canada was the easiest to go into without an ID.
Yeah.
Well, it's 19 in some places in Canada. Is it still 19?
Well, I was 18 because I was a late bloomer. So all my friends were 19. So I tried biting my ID to try and smudge the number. I tried everything. I tried, like, copying their stamp on their hand on mine.
Oh, yeah, I've done that. Uh-huh.
But they said there was just a rumor going around that they don't card at the gay bar. So I just kind of stood as tall as I could and made my way on in. And that's where we stayed for the whole night. And of course, I was in the closet at the time. So I couldn't go with any of those hands in the pants. So
were
I was
you
like,
a
no.
wimpy teenager, like skinny and looked young? Or were you like kind of sexy like you are now?
When I was in middle school, I was about 200 pounds. And then once high school hit, I think, let's say like sophomore year, that summer I kind of dropped all the weight. So then I was just really lean, skinny kind of guy.
You were just a chubby kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. That usually is what happens. You get the chubby kid that you're like, you know, and then all of a sudden they just blossom and you're like, damn, dude. He's
all my sister's friends were like, dang, sister. Or they'd be like, look at your little brother. And I was just so shy. I'm like, they're like, you say thank you when someone gives you a compliment. But I'm like, well, I'm, first of all, petrified that you even made a comment towards me, like, let alone say a thank you.
So did you ever get caught in a bar with a fake ID?
Well, not caught, but I guess the bouncer just got tired of me going to that bar because he came up to me. He's like, hey, tonight, I'm not going to let you in. And he's like, and I'm not giving this back to you. And I was like, what the heck? Oh, and I don't even know how they let me because it was a black and white ID. And it was a military ID for my friend. And he's white. I'm Mexican. He had blue eyes. I have brown eyes.
So, yeah. It was a total fake ID.
Yeah.
There's like, no
it was
question.
A stretch.
But, okay. Yeah.
Where did you get your fake ID at? Did you have somebody make it?
He gave it to me. Oh, he gave me his military ID. And then, we just try and go at separate times.
So that's the only fake ID you had was that one.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So did your friend have to go back to the bar and get the ID?
No, I just told him that he kept it. So I don't know if he went and got it back or if he just got another one issued to him.
Yeah.
But even the name, his name was Dennison Whitney Hood Lewis. Do I look like a Dennison Whitney Hood Lewis?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, not at all.
Yeah, I think you look like a Benno.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So your real name is Benito?
Bernardo.
Bernardo.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's cool. What's your middle name?
Delgado Alvarado. It's two last names.
Usually that's what happens. You take your mother's and your father's. Yeah.
So when you were younger and you got in trouble, did they say your full name when they yelled at you?
Bernardo. So that's why I always go by Benno, because Bernardo, I'm like, my mom only uses that when I'm in trouble.
See, and I think your parents did this too, but when, you know, it was Michael Shane.
Oh, yeah.
And
yes, it was Lisa Ann.
I knew I was in trouble.
Over here.
But the fun part was I had two older brothers, and so... If you got mom mad enough to say your full name, you knew instantly you were in trouble, grounded, whatever, something bad was going to happen to you. But when you knew that the world was going to end was when she forgot which one you were.
Oh.
And then Thomas, Joseph, Robert, William, Michael.
My mom did that. My mom got us all mixed up.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. It's a whole new level of pissing off mom when she's runs through everybody's name, and you're like,
she's so mad she can't spit it out.
Yeah,
that's why.
You just called me dad.
Oh yeah.
She's like,
being a kid, I never understood that, but once I became a parent, and then you're frustrated beyond belief. Yeah, you get them mixed up. Anger is all I'm seeing right now.
Yeah. So speaking of kids, do you want any kids?
Oh yeah, I definitely do.
Okay, how many?
Yeah. I would take one if that's all I can get, but in a perfect world, I would get like twins, a boy and a girl.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So
that'd be great.
Being a young gay man there, so how would you have the kids? Would you adopt? Would you do a surrogate?
See, that's the thing that's tricky. Like sometimes it's hard to get a boyfriend. So sometimes I feel like I'm just going to go to Mexico, knock someone up, and then just bring my baby back home with me.
At some point, you have to ask yourself, you know, if you want a kid, do I just do it alone or do I wait? Because, you know, you could wait.
Yeah, I feel like I'm giving myself 5 years. If I don't have
that's a great plan.
Yeah. 5 years. If I don't have a relationship, then I'm going to Mexico and I'm going to get me a baby.
Is it easy to get a baby in Mexico?
Yeah. There's a lot of women that are just open to. Yeah. Like you could honestly pay them $5,000 and just.
Oh, my God. People, are you hearing this? So can do you have to be Mexican to do that? Or can you be like, you know, another race?
Pretty sure
to
you could be any other race. They just want like. Just a third world country down there, so like the money is basically the big aspect.
So they is it not babies that they already have? This is a baby that they'll have for you.
Yeah,
that I can see that.
I've heard of, you know, the surrogates here in the U.S. You know, so
it ain't cheap.
You find, I've heard of other gay and lesbian couples where they find somebody to carry, like a lesbian couple. So one of them will produce eggs. Or able to produce eggs, and then they find a surrogate and they implant the egg, but then they also got to go and find somebody to be a sperm donor. So then they find a sperm donor. And so the ones I've heard of is very clinical. Everybody's apart and everything else. So, but yeah, you're looking at 25,000.
Oh, no, 100,000.
Yeah.
100,000.
Yeah, if you
plus,
go with a complete stranger with an agency, 150,000. Yeah.
Yep. And you pay all their bills, and sometimes they live with you. So it's expensive.
The least expensive route is if you do a sperm donation, and then they go and just get it inseminated. And I think that's about 5,000 to 15,000, depending. And that would be like a lesbian couple if I'm willing to do that. And then we're willing to share custody or whatever we agree on.
I wouldn't do it without being able to share because that's your human flesh and blood. Like, you know, like, I don't know. So what is your perfect date? Let's say you were able to go on a date. What would you do?
First, is it daytime, nighttime for a first date?
I prefer dusk when the sun's going down.
Yeah, there you go.
That's great. Cool.
So then you can kind of like see them in that nice lighting and then move into the romantic candlelight part of the evening. But I think like a nice date would be like ice skating or rollerblading just to see how fun they are, how adventurous they are.
How active they are. How kind of fit they are.
Yeah. Are they willing?
Yeah.
Are they willing to do something fun, or are they really rigid and I'm not going to do that kind of a
personality? Yeah. I guess that kind of also depends on age. So if you're dating a 50-year-old man versus a, you know, 30-year-old.
Well, you know what he'd also be good at, I think, would be rock climbing.
I've done it once. That's scary as heck.
And it's right next to Walla Point Park, so.
Ooh, kill two birds with one stone. I hate that saying. I hate it when I say it. It's so bad. It's horrible.
So, dusk.
Yeah.
Doing something.
To a nice romantic dinner.
A romantic dinner, okay.
I'm a foodie. I love trying new things. So, a new restaurant. Yeah.
I think mine is the beach. So, down on the ocean, taking a blanket at dusk. Yeah. And just laying it down and just having some food, wine, you know, just hearing the ocean, nice and it's warm outside, and then, you know, some kissing can happen. It's just kind of like, you know,
gotta have that romantic aspect.
And
I
then
love
it
that
rolls
romanticism
in tonight, and the moonlight is there, like, oh my God, I need to do that.
Yeah, speaking of, I think the only time I had sex on the beach was with my ex-boyfriend, and I was 23, so when he took me to Maui, it was just like amazing. Like you said, he took me on dates. We did the whole.
So he paid your whole trip to
Maui.
He
paid the whole thing. Yeah. And I was just smitten. I was like, dang, this guy's a baller.
Like, he paid for the whole thing. And you guys are on the beach and you're like, yep, I'm putting out.
Uh huh.
Did you put out the whole time?
Yeah. yeah. the whole time. And he got sunburned. He was so sunburnt.
Oh, my God. But yeah. he still had What's, sex with you?
Yes.
What's the worst thing about having sex on the beach?
Definitely the sand. Like, yeah. Because the towel wrinkles up, the blanket wrinkles up, and then the sand creeps in, and then it's... Yeah. But you just got to ignore it and go with...
You're in the moment. Aspect. You got to live in the moment. All that stuff is washable, fixable. Just go for it. I agree. That's
definitely bucket list check off.
How long were you in Mexico? I mean, in Maui with him?
I think it was like 5 days.
And he paid for everything. So if you went shopping or bought souvenirs or anything.
I think that's the only thing I paid for, just like souvenirs. And if he wasn't around when I got a drink or something like that. But
how did you meet him?
It was at the bar I was working at when I was 21. It was the sports bar. We always had these regulars come in, and one of them was a cop, and he brought this guy in, and he was just like, it looked like he was having a bad day. He just head down, looked like he was about to cry, and I asked him what was going on. And he said that his boyfriend was breaking up with him, didn't want to go to Watershed with him. And he was just kind of like begging him, like, what did I do wrong? Like, just he was begging so hard for his boyfriend. And I was like, oh, my God, this guy's like a broken, like just. He's broken. I can fix him. Like, I'll take care of you, bro. Like, so I asked him, I was like, well, do you want to go on a date with me? I'm a nice guy. I could, you know, maybe take the place of that jerk. And it kind of seemed like the other guy had already cheated on him and was just, he's already moving on, and he was still holding on to him. So I was just trying to be that little crutch for him and just, well, I can be your friend until you're ready to do something else. And then once he moved out of his boyfriend's house, he was very like independent. He was stayed at his brother's house, and he was in one of those
fifth wheel,
one of those things. And I just thought it was cool that he, whatever life threw at him, he was willing to adapt. And he was working at an airline, so he had credits for flying. And then that's when he asked me to go to Maui, and it was just spur of the moment.
So being so young, weren't you like scared and nervous but excited? Like, what did you think?
I was just so in love. Like, it was just like,
so you were in love with him.
I was in love with the idea of love. I was like, this guy's gonna be my boyfriend. Like, I was just, hearts were like in my eyes. Like, I
how much older was he than you?
I think I was maybe a year or two older than him.
Oh, so he was relatively young. What did he do for work?
He was one of the airline, I think he would load the baggage and then kind of do the flagging. Like, he was very much hands-on, which was a turn-on. Like, any kind of manly job is such a turn-on for me. Yeah.
So how did he get miles then?
I guess as they work, they get credits miles, and...
I mean, I could see him getting
to other airlines to work too, I think.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Oh.
So I have a question. So did you guys join the Mile High Club?
No.
Oh, it would have kicked off your little vacation. Dang, next time.
I was scared to fly. So I was basically trying to keep my lunch down, let alone try to put other things in my mouth.
No, I don't really like to fly either. I've flown several times, but it still makes me nervous. Mm-hmm. So I have to think of the destination. So, you know, when you get there, it's going to be fine. Look at the things you're going to do. But then I think when I get there, oh my God, you have to do it again to go home. So then it starts ruining my vacation as it gets closer and closer to leaving.
I mean, a Bloody Mary's and like that, you know, liquid lubrication helps. So that I'm sober, I wonder how my next plane ride's going
to
be.
Yeah. I take a Xanax, dude. I like have to.
Yeah.
Well, growing up watching movies and everything else and being from Mansfield, you don't fly very much anywhere.
No, you don't.
But every time I've been on a plane ever since Final Destination came out, it just starts playing automatically. You're going to the airport and you're just like, oh, wait a minute, that was Final Destination 2. and then you're like, now we're on the plane. Oh, now it's Final Destination. Yeah. So how'd you fly down there? Who was it?
It was the, what's the Hawaiian airline? It has
Hawaiian airline?
It has the Asian man with like a Hawaiian flower behind his head. Is it Alaska?
Oh, Alaska Airlines.
Alaska Airlines. Yeah.
Okay. So the first commercial plane I was on was Alaska Airlines. And
it's usually all I travel is Alaska.
It was about the worst flight I went to Alaska.
Well, Alaska's not a good flight anyway, because from what I've heard, it's very turbulent and you circle around to land.
Well, I think it was 2000. 2001 or 2002 that I went up there. And it was just a few years before that the Alaskan airline plane crashed outside of California, where they lost the bolt.
Yeah.
Okay. And so we're going from Seattle to Anchorage. And like you said, me and my buddy Mike, we're just hammering rum. And, you know, the stewardess comes by and we're like, give us another one. And she goes, no, we can't. You're too big of a guy to be drunk on this plane, okay? Whatever, fine. And so we're sitting there, and I knew something was wrong because we were supposed to stay in that plane, and then we were going to White Salmon on that plane. And I've got the window open, and I'm like, dude, there goes your luggage. And I knew it was his luggage because he's from Wisconsin, and what luggage did he have? Marlboro.
Do you guys get your luggage lost every time?
Never had mine lost. I've been lucky.
I always get mine lost.
I use a carry-on and it stays with me. I just smash it all down into that.
Mine got lost on the way back.
Yeah, I've learned to carry the important stuff on the carry-on because, always seem to get it lost on the way up there and always have to wait a couple of days before they find it and bring it on the next flight.
Yeah.
But I'm always running late, so maybe it's my own fault.
Well, we were sitting there, and his luggage left, and I says, something's wrong here. And so we sat on the plane for like an hour and a half, and so the new pilot gets on there, and he says, well, guess what? We're going to have to deplane, and because apparently this equipment won't make it to the next destination, so they're going to have to find another plane. Mm. Well, come to find out, that bolt that fell out of the one plane, that's what fell out.
Biggest fear ever.
On the way into Anchorage. Kidding? No.
What?
They lost the bolt when they landed. It fell off the plane, and they didn't have any parts to fix it, so that's why they couldn't use that plane anymore.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. and the bad part was that was the flight up.
So, you know the one person, I don't want to say names, you know the person that texted me before we started this? He was flying back from Seattle to Wenatchee. And they had, and that's just a small plane, right? Mm-hmm. And they had mechanical issues. And they were like working on the engine while it was in air. I remember him freaking out. Like, you're not going to believe this.
I would be praying my ass off.
I would be freaking out. I would probably have a heart attack. I would legit freak out.
Well, we have a cousin of ours that is a aeronautical engineer.
Who is it?
David. Cousin David.
Yeah.
Dick's son.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
And so he just posted on his Facebook that it was 32 years ago that he got his first job as an engineer at Star Fox or Star Kit. So there's a plane that you can buy, and it's a discounted price because it's not put together. And you buy it, and then you build it.
Yeah, it's a kit.
Yeah, it's a kit. Well, they were called Kit Fox Airplanes out of Idaho. And one of the family vacations that Dad took us on, we're down in Idaho, and we stopped to see David at this place where they had all these planes for display and everything. And he had one of the pilots take me up in one of those planes. And where it's just the two people sitting, the Cessna, small plane, love it. It's awesome. It is so cool. It's so much better than the commercial planes.
Oh, wow.
But then we get down to the ground, and David's sitting there laughing. And I go, what's so funny? And he walks over, and he opens the hood to the airplane, and it says Bomb Beret on it.
What does that mean?
You remember the snowmobiles that we used to use when we were kids? The Ski-Doos?
Oh, my God. It was that motor?
The motor.
What?
Yeah. Bomb Beret makes the motor. Yeah. How many times you been out in the middle of a flat wheat
and
field?
And it dies? Oh, hell no.
Yeah.
Nope, not.
Yeah, and I'm sitting there going, you definitely, it's a good thing you didn't tell me that before I got in the plane.
Right? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So, anything else we should know about you, Benno?
What do you like to do for fun?
Yeah, what are your hobbies?
Okay, I say I'm a hiker, but I've only done it two or three times.
Are you better?
In my mind, I do all these hikes, and I go to Kolchak. Like, I see myself doing these things, so I call myself a hiker, but I've only done it a couple times. So that's something that I would like to get into. But yeah, right now I'm just addicted to the gym.
Do you ski at all?
I skied once.
You should get into it. And it was fun. You look like the type that would ski.
Yeah, snowboard, that whole pizza and spaghetti, I got that concept down. And I was watching an episode of the Kardashians when they were skiing.
Oh, yeah.
So I watched that before I went, and I just kind of did what they did, and I seemed to do pretty good. So
you stay on, like, the bunny hill?
Oh, yeah. And my friend, he took me to the first level of the hard, whatever. There was, like, three different mountains. So he took me to one of them, and the steepness of the angle was different in my mind than what it actually was. And I'd get going really fast, and I got scared because I couldn't stop. So I just plow into the side. So sure. By the time I was done, I was so exhausted. I was just like sliding down to the cabin.
Yeah, it's scary. I've actually had my first time skiing was a long time ago. And I was a teenager. And every time I would ride the ski lift and it was time, you know, you got to go. You got to start skiing when you come off of those things. I would pile up a pile of people every single time at the bottom of that pile. Like it was just like 10 of us because I would wreck and then people behind me would hit me and then those people would hit and it would be like a pile of people. So I tried again. Okay, you got this, Lisa, you got it. Nope, I'd psych myself out, pile of people, you know?
Yeah, I was scared that when I fall, if people would hit me behind. So I'm like, they need to make a couple of different lanes on those hills.
Right, or something you can veer off.
Yeah, like, oh, I'm falling, I'm going to the
light. Hit the snowbank. Like, yeah. Like, you know, yeah, something to stop your fall that way instead of where everybody's got to go. I agree. That's fine.
So with getting back to the crush side of this, so was your sex life better in college or now?
Definitely now. College was, I think, hooked up once, I think, twice maybe when I went home. There was a friend that we all had back home, and he was very openly bisexual. He would always say he went to orgies and all this crazy stuff. But he was a really attractive guy. He kind of looked like John Stamos.
Ooh, Stamos.
Yeah, really handsome guy. So when I came back home from college, we were at a party and I planned it out right where he got into my car and one of my friends was going to get into the car, but I was just like, close the door for him. And I had like a Honda Civic. So I thought I was too fast, too furious. I was like dipping around alleyways and I just took him to the darkest alley in Yakima and I basically just told him, I mean, I had drank a lot, so I was kind of on that liquid courage. And I just told him, I'm like, hey, I think I'm gay and I picked you to experiment with. So show me. And he was just like, oh, you're so cute. He's like, I can't do this to you because he had the hugest fucking dick.
Oh, my God.
Huge, huge. And he's like, I can't, like, I'm gonna tear you up, boy. So, yeah. So I'm glad he was honest and he spared me. So he just gave me a blowjob and it was amazing, very risky. I was scared we were going to get caught. So, but I mean, once it was done, it was like, okay, yeah, I think I'm gay. Yeah.
What do you do? I want to know, what do you do with a dick that big? Like, it's just, it's too much. Like,
yeah.
It's just,
yeah.
I actually prefer my dicks. Normal size.
Yeah. Average is good. Average is good.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, when I hear women talk about, oh, big dicks, I gotta have a big dick, that's a bunch of bullshit. Because I've had big dicks and I'm gonna just ride dicks. And the big dicks hurt. You go through a little bit of pain before you get to the good stuff. So, I think it's just more fun with average.
All my gay friends are like, are you even gay? Because like, I'm like, yeah, I don't want a big dick. I just want something manageable.
Yes, I agree.
Something I can work around with. Yeah. I'm like, there's that nothing too small, nothing too big. But like, there's a big margin in between that you can work with. I think a lot of people are just, I don't know, they want to put up pretenses that they want big and that's all they want. Like, I'm not that guy. Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you for being on our episode today. You are amazing.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah, it was a great episode.
Yeah,
today.
I'll do some research and I'll definitely come back and let you know.
Yeah, so we hope to have you here a bunch of times and we'll be ready for your research on that OnlyFans.
All right.
Okay, take care. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you for tuning in to Love's Naked Truth. If you enjoyed today's episode and you want to hear more, you can find us on all major podcast platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review the show. Your feedback helps us continue to bring you thought-provoking content about love, sex, and relationships. You can also connect with us on social media for updates and behind-the-scenes content. Until next time, stay true to yourself and keep loving nakedly.